Right, good morning, everybody. We will continue our press conference availabilities, the annual OEM press conference. I think everybody's familiar with these gentlemen up here. I will introduce them. Mark Rushbrook, Global Director of Ford Performance. Dr. Eric Warren, GM Executive Director, Global Motorsports Competition. And Tyler Gibbs, President of TRD USA. Obviously, 2024 was another great year from a competition perspective, gentlemen. All three OEMs represented in the Champ Four once again. 18 different drivers from 10 organizations won races. An average margin of victory of 1.3 seconds, including three of the top seven closest finishes in NASCAR Cup Series history. So, obviously, some really good parity last year. And, you know, how do you evaluate your 24? We'll just open it right up, and then we'll kick it to the media after this. How do you evaluate your 24, and what are your main goals this offseason heading into 25?
So, from a Toyota perspective, it's a little bittersweet. We were fast everywhere. We had good speed. Didn't win as many races, candidly, as we should have. Our execution kind of let us down on the TRD side as well as the team side. So we've worked very, very hard on that over the offseason. And some of that is showing this weekend, a very small sample set. We have a lot of work to do. But overall, that's kind of how we evaluate it. And so looking forward to 25, we're excited about some of our different crew chief and driver combinations. We've got our veterans back, and it'll be a good season. We hope to continue to have the speed from last year, improve our execution, and move forward.
Dr. Warren?
You know, I think 2024 for us was really, honestly, a great year. We won the Manufacturer Championship in all three series 2 years in a row, which I don't think's been done. So that, you know, our consistency across all of our organizations was really a proud part of it. In each series, all of our organizations won. Certainly in Cup, you know, overall we won about 49% of the races. But, you know, you look at Cup, you know, some of the performance that we had on some of the shorter tracks, and, you know, we have to improve on. So we look at the positives, but we also look at the negatives. And as Tyler said, I think our teams really did execute well. If you look at some of the speed, we're able to win, which is always a hallmark of execution. So proud of our groups there. Xfinity, certainly with Justin winning the championship and our continued success with the teams. And then Dale Jr. winning the Owners Championship was great highlight moment in the championship. And in truck, you know, really proud of trucks. Over the last 2 years, we've really invested in the truck series and had new, you know, early wins from Nick Sanchez here last year for 100th win and development driver, and then Rajah Caruth, and seeing all five organizations win, and that's really a great moment. So I think, looking back, couldn't be happier. We want to win the driver's championships as well, so we're going to focus on that in 2025 and a few specific short tracks that we need to improve on and try to work on the aero tracks is always a hallmark of our success. So.
Yeah, for me, for us, 2024, I thought was a fantastic season for the sport as well. The closeness, as you mentioned, with the finishes and the competition amongst the OEMs, working together off the track, but racing each other really hard on the track. And I just think it was great for the sport with the competition that we had on track. For us, we had our Mustang Dark Horse start in 2024, and we certainly struggled at the beginning of the year in the Cup Series. Didn't get the early season wins that we were hoping for, but came on mid-season and on different tracks to get our share of the wins, not 49%, but 12 wins in Cup, and ultimately the Drivers' Championship, and similarly in Truck, getting the Drivers' Championship there, which is important for us. And kudos to Dale Jr. and Chevy and Allgaier with the win in Xfinity. That was a great race and a great drive from him. For sure. For 2025, the focus for us in the off season, we've had a lot of changes in our teams with Haas moving from four cars down to one, with Front Row and RFK both growing up to three cars. So there's been a lot of changes inside the teams, but then also the dynamics between our teams in terms of how we work and partner with them. So that's been an adjustment for all of us. But I think we're in a good place. Really looking forward to getting going here this weekend in 2025 and a great season again.
Perfect. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll open up for questions. Just raise your hand. We'll get you mics. We'll go to Jerry first.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires.net. Tyler, the other night, you know, we had Toyota branding issue, you know, change kind of from Toyota North America to Toyota Gazoo Racing, and then you guys go out and win the pole for the first time here in the Daytona 500. Has that resonated all the way back, you know, across the company, back to Japan? What's the mood and the comments from you guys?
Yeah, certainly for us, changing branding has been a really, it's an honor for us, right? When you look at what Gazoo Racing means across the globe with the WEC program and the success they've had, the WRC, the Dakar program, and for us to be part of that family, we've always been a part of it from a technical perspective, but now to be racing under that banner is really an honor for us and a great call for us. So to go out and set our first pole at the Daytona 500 is a great way to start that, and a lot of excitement across the company for that. They all understand the Daytona 500, so we've got a lot of work still left to do.
And I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but Paul was on the sim prior to qualifying. Was he giving tips to the drivers in the Toyota camp? Because he was not coming off that sim until the very end.
Yeah, so Paul and I are very similar. The more we get close to the car, the more nervous the engineers get. So we just stand back and we praise Paul for what a great job he did, and we immediately threw that in the trash. So as I'd expect him to do with me if I was on the sim.
All right, we'll go to Bruce.
Every year, each manufacturer looks to improve. What are some of the things in 2025 from each of your perspectives that is your number one topics that you would like for your company to be able to do?
You know, I think for us, as I said, there are some particular short tracks, and obviously it's really important for the end of the year at Phoenix. If you look at Phoenix, we had success at Martinsville, certainly at the beginning of the year, and we were competitive, but you know, I think we have to really get a hold of those tracks, Gateway, Loudon, now in the playoffs. It's important for us to improve performance. We've kind of been down there. We're putting a lot of focus on that. You know, if you look at the aerodynamic tracks, we actually, you know, showed down a little bit to the Toyotas, to be honest. We were able to execute and win, but those two main things are really important for us, and trying to get all of our teams in the playoffs as much as we can to try to more numbers as we get towards the end, because each round is so unique in the playoffs. We just want to be there. But at the end of the day, those short tracks is really what brings that driver championship home.
Yeah, I think from our side, again, it goes back to execution. When we look at where we were at, broke down our performance on the speed side, the execution side, and a couple of the other elements, that was really where we fell down. And so we focused on that a lot in the offseason. Our Speedway program, our qualifying has struggled the last several years, so we've put a lot of attention to that, certainly with our team partners, and how we kind of meld that together into a tighter partnership even than it was before. And so it's early days. I'm really excited about the pole at Daytona and the way that we raced in the duels, that Jimmy and Martin were both able to get in, but those are small sample size, so we've got a lot of work to continue to do there. I think the other thing for us is continuing to watch 2311 grow and get stronger. As they did last year, watch Bubba, see how they incorporate Riley into that whole mix. And the legacy guys, they've made some very, very significant changes in the offseason. We're really excited about the technical team that they've built there. They are ahead of pace for where we thought they'd be after 1 year, candidly, and excited to just watch where they go. It is a very, very tough garage and a very, very tough field, so we have modest expectations for their improvement, but they certainly have the pieces in place now to do that.
Yeah, I mean, to those points, right, to be successful at this level, you've got to address every element of your program. So, of course, we're working with our teams across the engine, the aerodynamics, the simulation program, the tire model, and everything. One area where we've got a particular focus is on road courses. We haven't got the wins there that we would like to, so certainly working really hard on that. We feel at Super Speedways, we've had a lot of speed, especially with the Fords together, but last year we didn't convert all those to the wins that we think we should have. But a lot of that circumstantial. And as I said in the earlier question, the biggest thing that we're continuing to work on is just the changing team dynamics with the number of cars at all those different organizations and more so how they work together off the track as well as on the track.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. Mark, over here. I believe that the Mach-E prototype was at the testing session in South Carolina recently. I was just curious, with this being a product for experimentation, testing technology, what have, you know, the engineers seen so far from those test sessions?
Yeah, so we've experimented a lot in full electric demonstrator space over the last 4 years, and we've done that in NHRA with our Cobra Jet, Super Cobra Jet. with our Mach-E 1400 for drifting and road course, with the Pikes Peak with Supervan 4.2 and the Super Truck. And we've learned so much in that, in those spaces, around electric at high performance, extreme performance. And now this is, and it's been great doing it in NASCAR together with Toyota and Chevy and NASCAR to think about what is the future of the sport and learning more about it in this space. Now it's very different, right? The format in NASCAR, not all tracks are suitable for full electric. Right, you're not going to come and run the Daytona 500. It would only be a few laps, I think. But that's part of what we're going to learn together, I think, in this space, is where can we still put on a good, engaging show and where we can't.
All right, we'll go to Holly, then we'll go to Bob, and then Jordan.
I just wanted to ask you a little bit about, obviously, some new rules for this year, and certainly talking to the OEMs about that and how you anticipate not only racing at Daytona, but kind of how things are going to be handled in terms of, you know, the pack style and sticking together and what you're allowed to do and what you're not. Any of you.
You know, I think, you know, we've had a lot of dialogue. We're all competitors. We want to compete and that, you know, as you look at the races, it kind of requires you to put some guardrails up. And I think speedway racing, you know, the important part is just because of the aerodynamics and the nature of speedway racing, you have to actually draft together to improve your performance and, you know, to be successful. So I think it's always been acknowledged in the discussions amongst all of us in NASCAR that speedway racing is different because of that. So I think, you know, each situation is complicated, obviously, and things come up that you didn't expect and you have to discuss. It's, you know, it's a little uneasy sometimes trying to think about all these scenarios, but that's just part of top-level racing and the competition. It's just things we'll have to deal with, and we understand the principles, I think, as a whole, and we all want to have great shows and great competition, and that's really what we're all here for, and while we work together on those things.
Yeah, I just align with that, right? We understand the principles. We understand the spirit of what the rule is trying to do. You can never, sitting here or in a hall, or fully go through every scenario that can happen because of what it is. But I think with that understanding and alignment on the principles, and understanding it'll be different at a super speedway versus a short track, I think we know what to do.
Yeah, I would echo that. We are aligned in what those expectations are. There are a lot of scenarios that you just can't plan out for. And so I think, again, we know where that line is, and it is at a different place for the different kinds of racing. So I think we're good.
All right, we'll go to Bob, Jordan, and then Jenna.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. To follow up on that, so what do you tell your teams for Sunday, and is it any different than what it was in for the 2024 Daytona 500?
For us, it's exactly the same.
Same.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Kind of question about the lawsuit that's ongoing from the manufacturer's perspective. I know you guys aren't directly involved in it, but you guys are involved in it, at least in some aspect of it. As you see this unfold, is there a resolution or outcome that you guys would like to see how this ends?
So I think from our side, we are a very interested, neutral third party. We are partners with NASCAR, and we are partners with 2311. We have expressed that to both of them, and we're going to continue to partner with each of them in the ways that we always have. So for us, we want resolution. We're not trying to dictate what that resolution is, but it is in our best interest, the team's best interest, the sport's best interest, for resolution.
Yeah, I'd say it the same way, right? Like, NASCAR is a great partner. Front Row is a great partner. We maintain those relationships. We want the focus to be what's happening on the track, and hopefully that everything gets worked through, and we have a great season of racing.
And Eric, I know you don't necessarily have
this is one of those great moments when I can say that I'm fortunate we have no opinion.
Very good. Last question for me. You guys, a lot of conversation about NASCAR's desire to get a fourth OEM. It's obviously been a thing for a while now. It seems like they're maybe moving in that direction. From your perspective, is this something you really want to see? Where are you guys at on that?
I mean, I think, you know, NASCAR is the greatest competition in racing, certainly in North America. And I think it's just a highlight to the strength of the sport, the strength of what NASCAR is doing, the next-gen car. So I think we've supported that, and more manufacturers always kind of builds the strength in the sport and the depth of the sport. What you'll see is the quality of the teams and the level of competition will go up, so we always welcome that. So I think I think it would be a good thing to see it.
Yeah, the same from Toyota's perspective. We recognize that it probably means between the three of us, we share a few less wins, but it's tremendous for the sport. It's good for the fan base. It's good for just the activation at the tracks. It's good for the advertisements on television. It just brings a whole lot more to the sport. So from our perspective, we certainly would welcome another OE or two.
Yeah, we're in racing in all the different series to compete against other OEMs, and we're delighted racing with Chevy and Toyota here in NASCAR, and we also love with the future that we're going to have in Formula One and sports car. Like, you see 14, 15 different manufacturers committed to hypercar, and that's fantastic. And to see other OEMs having interest to come and race here, and for NASCAR to want to engage them, it's all for all of our best interest to have more manufacturers here.
All right, we'll go to Jenna and then Lee.
Jenna Fryer, AP. Apologize to Mark and Eric for changing the series topic. But Mark, you guys threw a big event a few weeks ago, and Red Bull and Liam Lawson were very integrated in that. You're scheduled to enter Formula One in 26, but you're already totally partners with them. How much is Ford doing at this point with them, and what are you doing?
Yeah, it's been a fantastic partnership. Formula One is a great place to be, great series, a lot of interest there across OEMs and across the fans. So when we started that partnership in late 22, announced it in 23, we've been hard at work since before the contract was signed. And it's definitely a partnership. So with the campus in Milton Keynes, the Oracle Red Bull Racing campus, we're integrated with them, working on every element of the powertrain. So there isn't a hard line that's drawn that says what Red Bull employees do, what Ford employees do, or when or where or how it gets done. But it's a full partnership. Anything's on the table for our company resources that can contribute to that program, it's available.
So are you kind of already in Formula One?
Well, we're not on the track yet until March of 26, okay. Of course, because it's still a Honda power unit in the Red Bull cars through this full season. But we're in it in the sense that we're preparing. I mean, just okay. Similar to what Eric's doing and General Motors, they're preparing to be on the track in 26. So not on track, but in it.
Yeah. So it exists. So Eric, is there an update you can give? I know that the group wants to maybe lease some land next to you, the GM Tech Center in Concord. So if you can update us on where that program is.
So we've been full steam ahead with our Cadillac F1 team, and it's such a great moment for General Motors to really show. It's challenging, but yet exciting, being able to build this from ground up, right? We our General Motors building a team with our partners, a power unit facility that we, again, are going to be building in North Carolina, and then our team facility in Fishers, Indiana. You know, the presence of this being a true American team and building the car here is couldn't be a greater testament to General Motors and the opportunity to show our engineering, and we'll be there in 2026 and beyond.
And I just don't want you to feel left out, Tyler.
don't worry. He probably has something to say.
You if not for a late caution, Toyota would be undefeated in your first Daytona 500 here as the guy. I don't know. How did the outcome of that race make you feel, and how do you feel about Toyota headed into the 500?
Well, first of all, I'm just one guy with a whole lot of team members who are behind me. So as we joked earlier, if I were to touch anything on that car, none of them would have been competing for a win. So we're excited again about the work we've done in the offseason. A lot of focus on it. And I'd trade it all for a win on Sunday. So you know, we just got to keep working at it, and we'll get there.
All right, we'll go to Lee, and then we'll finish up with Adam.
Lee Spencer, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. On the other side of the motorsport spectrum, Tyler, I look at Christopher Bell as your poster child for driver development. But, you know, whether it's Larson racing in Australia or, you know, he and Bell continuing to build the rivalry started on dirt, now into NASCAR and back on dirt. From a marketing perspective, how much, you know, give back do you feel from the efforts of, you know, Bell or Larson? I mean, Larson was one of your guys too, but, you know, for those guys to go out, for Larson to go internationally, for NASCAR to be talking now potentially about going to Brazil, how big is it from you guys from a marketing perspective to kind of open our borders?
Yeah, I think from our side, it's we're glad that Coach and Heather made some decisions to allow Christopher to race back in the dirt. What he and Kyle do on a regular basis is pretty special and is great for the sport as a whole, especially dirt racing, but the sport as a whole, to see these guys come out and do what they do. So I think from an international perspective, it's dirt racing, so I'd love to say that it's a huge needle mover for us. It helps to seed the opportunities, right? If we were to race in some of these other places where they've raced internationally, there are some recognized names, and that helps us from a marketing perspective in those places. But I think what they're doing on the track is what brings a lot of attention. You hear Clint talk about it on TV. You hear Kevin and others mention it as well. Every once in a while, there's a clip of what happens, and that just helps to broaden the appeal of NASCAR to our fans. Wow, look at that. Hey, there's a local dirt track. We should go down there and see what's going on there. And so I think it's less international for us, and it's more building that, again, that broader domestic audience.
There was Toyota's sponsorship all over Perth Motorplex.
Oh, yeah. Toyota Australia is a great partner of ours.
I think seeing the crossover, that, and we've seen so much more of it with Shane Van Gisbergen coming and Kyle Larson going to Australia. I mean, I think, you know, we saw some exhibitions maybe in the past with some exchange with some international drivers, but now, I mean, the crossover just, again, is a testament to the strength of NASCAR, to be honest, the product and the skill of the drivers. And, you know, there are multiple people that have a heightened respect for these drivers. These are some of the best drivers in the world, and that's certainly Kyle being able to win on anything he steps on gives us a good marker for our younger drivers to how you, these other different disciplines, how they do, you know, just increase your, you know, ability to control the car. And we're fortunate that he's able to be successful and he's with us.
All right, we'll finish up with Adam.
Adam Stern, Sports Business Journal. Thanks for the time, guys. We're continuing to see hybrid cars sales rise quite dramatically. So do you feel like we're nearing the point where NASCAR needs to go hybrid?
I don't know that it's a need. I think for us as OEMs, we've got the opportunity, and as we compete in different series, to have hybrid there. And of course, we'll have it in Formula One. We already have it in WRC. We'll have it again in our LMDH with our hypercar. So there's a lot that we are already doing in motorsports with hybrid. I think the only reason to put it in NASCAR is if it makes the show better. If there's some way to, if you're just going to put it in the cars and go race the same way that we do today, then there's no real story there, I don't think. Especially on a track like this where you don't have any opportunity other than coming to pit road to have the regeneration. But if there's a way to implement it to make the sport more interesting or better in some way, then absolutely we should be discussing that.
Yeah, we agree with Mark. To add the weight to it isn't going to make the cars faster. There are a lot of tracks that we're at where there isn't an opportunity really to regen. You know, if the cars were silent on pit lane because they were running on the battery, that might be interesting, but I don't know that it makes a difference in the outcome of the show. And it adds a lot of complexity to the cars that currently they're probably not prepared for. So, yeah, if it makes the show better, we're interested.
We're going to grab one quick one from Lee.
To follow up with Adam, could they do a companion event? I mean, could you see something like at a North Wilkesboro, at a Bowman Gray, where it's a small track and, you know, you could probably get more bang for the buck?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of us exploring these different technologies, and that's kind of the hallmark of our collaboration, is to figure out, okay, what is a product that's exciting and relevant and high performance. And that's really why we're working on all these different elements. I think absolutely, you know, those types of events, you know, because they are open up to D-Cell and the sound again, and some of those things are opportunities. But, you know, as Mark and Tyler said, I think it really comes down to, you know, being relevant to the sport, to the fans, and adding something of value. And so there are a lot of different platforms, a lot of elements that we can investigate, and that's the fun part of being in these positions and NASCAR being open to exploring these things.
Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen. Really appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.